Educational purposes only.
It was early Sunday morning. I thought I'd take a ride. I strolled out to my Chevrolet. I climbed down up inside. Choke and I turned the key, but the old girl wouldn't start. She let out a whine so pitiful it nearly broke my heart. Although I was a bit
well, good morning, everybody. Good morning to you. 4 minutes after the hour of 10 o'clock. My name's Mark Salem, and I'll be your host for the next hour. The name of this show is Under the Hood, and we talk about cars. We talk about your cars. And if you want to join us, the easy way to do it is get on the phone, 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. We'll put you in line. We'll get to you just as quickly as we can. Here's how you can help me. You can help me by providing us with the kind of car you have, the mileage, and then give me the symptoms. That will help me a lot. The kind of car, the mileage, and then give me the symptoms. That will work perfectly. Let me tell you a little bit about myself. I've been a master technician for 30 years. I've owned my own repair shop since 1979. I wear a lot of hats. I'm very proud. I'll put them in order for you. I'm a father and a grandfather, but I'm a cowboy. I'm an auto mechanic. I'm an expert in the consulting business with respect to auto repair. So I'm hired by government agencies, law enforcement, and insurance companies, and specifically to answer a specific question. What happened to this engine? Did the steering fail on this wrecked car? Are the brakes okay on this wrecked car? And if not, why not? Those are some of the questions I'm asked. I also have quite a few social responsibilities. I won't bore you with those. But I will tell you that I know right from wrong. And many years ago in my before life, the number one question that people ask me was, where do you work? And I'm honored when you ask me that. But that's not the purpose of this show. The purpose of this show is to guide you. And so I have your concerns in front of my own. I have your well-being in front of my own. And I didn't like to answer that, and partially because my mother said it sounds like that this is a one-hour commercial for you. So I'm not going to tell you where I work. But I will tell you this. As a result, 20 years ago, I created the best car repair shops in Phoenix. And I went out and I gathered information that ultimately led to a list of 60 repair shops. Now, what's important to you about that is this. I have a specific criteria about what you have to do. I have their promise that they will abide by any decision made by the Better Business Bureau in the dispute resolution process that they have promised me they'll go through. These guys are the very best of the best. My website is marksalem.com, and you can find a list of my best shops there. But here's why that's important, all right? This is, now today, I started 22 years ago. AAA, Angie's List, Dex, GarageFly, Great Garage, Kudzu, NARPRO, RepairPal, 2Fixit, Your Auto Network, and Yelp, are a few of the players that followed me. They have what they consider to be the best places. They have the best plumbers and the best everything. And that's okay with me. I'm flattered that they followed me, if they followed me, or if they even knew I was on this earth. But I want to tell you something. No one running these other referral sites is these five items. None of them is a shop owner. None of them knows anything about repairing, running an auto repair shop. Nobody's an automotive expert. Nobody's certified as a mediator or an arbitrator for the Better Business Bureau, the Attorney General's Office, Chevy, Ford, and Dodge. And no one's an ASE Master Tech, and for the last 30 years. So when you look at their sites, this is what they say in the small print, okay? Dex, 2Fixit, and Yelp says this: you use these sites at your own risk. So does GarageFly, says the same thing. Great Garage says this: we do not guarantee the services, repairs, or products they provide. Kudzu says you're responsible for any loss or damage you incur when you use these services. Are you getting what I'm sending down here? They're saying to you, we're pointing at these garages and saying, oh, they're the greatest garages in town, but we're not going to stand behind them. Your Auto Network says, we're not responsible for any and all work that is provided by the members. Okay? So you know that while they're taking these guys' money, they're basically saying, we're not going to be involved in any disputes. This is what my site says, and I've signed my name to it. It says this simply. If you have a problem with one of my best shops, and the Better Business Bureau agrees with your version of the events, and the shop refuses to abide by the Better Business Bureau decision, I will personally carry out the directives of the Better Business Bureau, including repairing your car or issuing you a refund up to $5,000. Is that quite different? I think you'll agree with me. That's quite different than what you may have experienced before. So I'm putting my money where my mouth is, and you're saying, well, you're just charging the shops that. I can tell you that I am the cheapest annual fee of all of the referral networks out there. And that referral fee goes towards the website maintenance because these gentlemen and these ladies, they change their general managers. They want different pictures. And so there's this cost associated with maintaining the website. So these guys pay for that cost. They're also paying for the show. They're saying, we like you as an authoritative figure for the auto repair industry. And in spite of the fact that sometimes you say things we disagree with, that we're still on your side and we think that you show us to be human. I'm not talking about all the shops in Phoenix. I'm talking about our 60 shops. There's some paint and body shops. There's transmission shops. There's mechanical guys. There's performance guys. There's diesel guys. I've done my best, and I'm working on an upholstery shop. I'm working on a glass company. But frankly, folks, one out of every 20 that applies makes the grade. They have to have insurance. They have to have been in business 5 years. The owner has to be on site more than he's off site. And they have to have a good Better Business Bureau record, and I'm proud to tell you that virtually every one of them has an A, whether it's an A-, an A+. And in my case, for instance, I dropped to an A- because I had two complaints. I handled them both to the Better Business Bureau satisfaction, and I made offers that I thought were fair, and so did the Better Business Bureau thought they were fair, and the customer declined the offer, and so they closed the complaint. I did pay one of the complaints. It was an air conditioning complaint, and we had replaced two components. And she thought maybe that we should have only replaced one. And I politely asked her, let's go in front of the Better Business Bureau and see what they say. And the Better Business Bureau says, Mark, we think you should refund her for the second one. And I did. That's how we're supposed to do it. Now, the idea of car repair is foreign to you, and I hope to make that something that you're more comfortable with. I will teach you what to say and to how to protect yourself from those that want to take advantage of you. There's lots of shops out there right now that charge you for what they call a comprehensive check. I call that a shopping spree, and I also say, why would you pay them to shop your car to death? I don't understand. I don't know why you'd do that. I don't know why that would be something that you would even consider. So again, I want you to know that I hold these shops to a high standard. But here's the really best part about it is, over the last 20 years, do you know how many times we've gone to the uppermost level of the Better Business Bureau dispute resolution process? This is where my money's at risk. This is where my money's at risk. We have never had a complaint go that far. Never in 20 years. These men and women are the best of the best. Now, we have a lady that runs Air Park Auto Service, Nadine. She answers to no man. We have a lady over in Tempe that runs a Mercedes BMW European import shop called Myers Star Service. Vivian answers to no man. We have a lady that has a body shop, and it's a half a block south of Camelback, two blocks west of 16th Street, called Lovett's. Denise answers to no man. We've got Tony's Automotive on 56th and Thomas. Catherine runs that. Now, it's true that Tony's your brother, but trust me when I tell you that Catherine runs that store. There is some lady-only shops here that if your car fits, you go. What I want to do is guide you to a shop close by, but I also want to tell you something else. If you already have a repair shop, then stay there. If you're already happy, you should embrace that relationship. But you really don't know how good your shop is until you have a complaint. And the shop will then show you clearly that they are interested in resolving the complaint. But I also must warn you this. Because of the economy, I'm not quite sure I disagree with this, but I'm going to share it with you. Many shop owners will simply ask themselves, let's pretend that I, Mark Salem, complained about ABC Auto. ABC Auto may say, do we want to keep Mark? That's the first question they may ask themselves. Do we want to keep Mark? They didn't ask him who's right and who's wrong. They're not saying, are we right? Are we wrong? Mark right? Is he right? He's not asking that question to himself. So maybe the shop goes in and finds out that Mark spent a whole lot of money here. He's been a customer since 1996. He's never had a complaint. And this one's like $250. I think you'll agree with me that the shop owner would then at that point probably make the refund and say, you know what? I don't know who's right or who's wrong, but I value you as a customer. So I'm going to allow you to request a refund and I'm going to give it to you. I won't do that every single time, but I will this time. Thank you for your patronage. The check is in the mail. So those are the kinds of issues that we have. I'm not quite sure I like that, but on the other hand, I find myself doing the same thing. We had a lady who complained, first time in, and she says, I've had it to every shop in town and no one can fix this vibration. We took
one
her
minute
for three rides. And so at that particular point, we couldn't find the vibration either. So we charged her like a $40 checkout fee. We spent an hour with her, and she complained about it. Well, I found myself asking that question. No one else could please her. I couldn't please her. No one could find the vibration. We couldn't either. She said she felt it and she heard it, but I had two guys in the car with her. Both of them have Dumbo ears, and they couldn't do it either.
30 seconds.
So I'm here at your service. I'm going to give you good, honest opinions. Sometimes I say things you don't like to hear, and sometimes I say things that the shops don't like to hear, but nevertheless, I've got your interest in front of my own. 602-508-0960. They call this intelligent conservative radio. I don't know about the intelligent part for me, but this is 960 AM KKNT, just in case you know to come back on next Saturday, 960 KKMT. NT 602-508-0960. Hey, Mark Salem here. I have a friend at Thunderbird Automotive, and his name is Tom Fletcher, and so do you. If you live in the Northwest area, you have two Thunderbird autos to choose from. One is at 88th Avenue and Thunderbird in Peoria, just west of the 101 US rating.
And at the center of these events, Decision Points by George W. Bush in paperback and ebook wherever books are sold. Visit georgewbush.com.
Now, you may need a body shop someday. Maybe you're involved in an accident that's your fault or somebody else's fault. Hi, this is Mark Salem. I recommend Phoenix Body Works, and I'll tell you why. You want to find a body shop that has your best interest in front of everybody else's. You don't want necessarily the insurance company to dictate the repair because sometimes they cut corners, and that's where the shop is important. Greg May, the owner of Phoenix Body Works, will be your advocate. He will make sure your car's put back together the right way, on time, and at affordable price with quality parts. And that's important. This is important that I tell you that I've been recommending Phoenix Body Works for several years, and we've heard nothing but excellent thing from his customers. They write me regularly and say, I really had a great time. So Phoenix Body Works is located at 19th Avenue, half block north of Deer Valley Road. You can reach him anytime at 623-582-1434. That's Phoenix Body Works. Don't forget, Phoenix Body Works, 623-582-1434.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk one size too small. Those spark plug wires are a little too long, and your main prog spawner's nearly gone. The injector ports are stripped, and that ain't all.
Yeah. Your injector ports are stripped and that ain't all. I'm sure you've heard something like that before. And actually, to be honest with you, there is no such thing as an injector port, and it can't be stripped. It's just a small port, and we push the injector in, and then there's a bracket that goes around there. So just for you, those of you that need to know that, again, 602-508-0960. This is 960 AM KKNT, and let's go to Mike. Mike, good morning to you. How can I help you?
Good morning, Mark. It's nice to hear you again.
Thank you.
I have an 05 Mazda B2300 pickup automatic, and I'm getting a slipping on a light throttle in third, from second to third, but on a heavy throttle or moderate throttle, it seems to be fine.
Okay.
And I was wondering if there was anything, I was thinking of just servicing it, you know, fluid and all of that. It's got about 83,000 miles on it.
Okay, and let me ask you, what kind of services has the transmission had in the last 83?
That I don't know. The car is new to me.
Okay, now. All right, this is what I think you should do. I think you should first pour about a half of a pint of brake fluid down the dipstick tube.
Uh-huh.
Let's add a little bit of brake fluid, which is a hydraulic fluid, to your transmission. That will swell any seals, and it will also return some pliability to any seals that are hard. Okay.
How much was that? A half pint?
Half a pint, yeah.
Okay.
Won't hurt it at all. Then, if that makes the difference, I think we need to pull the pan and do the filter, which is process number one.
Uh-huh.
And then maybe 6 months later, at the beginning of the summer, I want you to flush the transmission, because when we do the pan and the filter, we only get about 3 or 4 quarts, and your transmission is going to hold 8 to 12. So I'm really kind of speeding up your process, because this should have been done over the last 80. I tell customers, at 30, we do the filter, the gasket, and 3 or 4 quarts of oil. And then at 60, we do a flush, and we leave the filter alone. And then we go back and forth between filter, flush.
Right.
That's what's best. In your particular case, I think you'll know quickly whether or not that. And you can also go to Pep Boys and look through their chemical cabinets, because they're going to have lots of transmission rejuvenators. And basically all that is a seal swelling chemical. Now, if the seal is cut, it won't fix this cut seal. But I'm thinking you've got some hard internal seals, and I think we should try this first. And when you call back, you're going to say better, worse, or the same. If it's better, we hit a home run. If it's worse, we know we got a seal problem. And if it's the same, no harm, no foul. That's how I do it. Okay?
Is the brake fluid the same as the expensive stuff that you buy to pour in it, or?
Yeah, the brake fluid is a .3 or a .4 brake fluid. It's a hydraulic fluid. It won't hurt anything in your transmission. I don't care what fluid you have in your transmission now, brake fluid won't hurt it.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you very much. Tom, you're up next. Tom, how can I help you today?
Hi. I have a 2002 Windstar with a 3.8-liter engine in it, and when the temperature at nighttime gets down here below 65, you know, when I get a couple blocks away, the engine just wants to stumble and run real rough. Now, I had a 01, and I had 165,000 miles on it just after I sold it. It started doing it to the guy I sold it to, and I forget what he said he had done. I paid for it, but it was something with some intake, something along the intake valve,
yeah,
and stuff like that.
I know what he's talking
some
about.
Some little rods or something like that, but I only have 85,000 miles on this. But if it's going to need it, should I just go ahead and do it? But what do I call it?
Okay, I think what you need to talk about is that I have a cold idle problem. It seems like when the engine's cold, I don't have a nice smooth idle where the computer can figure out where it wants to be. Now, let me tell you something. You said something important here, 65 degrees. I want to tell you that there's this imaginary line right around 65 to 70 degrees where the computer doesn't have a clue as to what to do. It doesn't know if the engine's hot or the engine is cold. And every time this year, at this time of year, we run with problems with, I've got a problem because my idle's this, my idle's that. And I say to most people, if you'll just wait till it gets a little colder, the computer will figure this out. But the computer's makers have to build this window in there to accommodate Minnesota, northern territories of Canada, and Arizona. So it's a difficult transition for the computer when it's 65 to 70. Is do I raise the idle because the engine's cold, or do I drop the idle because the engine's warm? Well, if it drops the idle because it thinks it's warm, but it's really cold, then you get a rough idle. What he was talking about was cleaning up the throttle plates. having somebody clean the throttle plates. It's always less than $100, and at 83,000 miles, I imagine that they can do a good job, and that will, it'll take a day or so for the idle to straighten out, but after that, you'll be home free. So my guess is that he had the throttle blades cleaned up, and if you go to marksalem.com, click on FAQs, you'll see an FAQ in there for throttle blade cleanup, and it explains the whole thing.
All right. Now, it did, but it, even when it was cooler last winter, it did the same thing. But then this vehicle gets 3 or 4 miles per gallon less than my prior one.
Okay.
Would that have anything to do with any kind of fuel economy?
No.
2 minutes.
I think that's a different subject altogether. I have a fuel economy FAQ, and what I'd want to do is I'd want to run tailpipe emissions on this. I'd also want to look at the fuel trim numbers that are in the computer. Percent zero is the fuel trim. So if we have a minus number, that means I'm using less fuel than normal. And if we have a positive number, we have using more fuel than normal. So I'd want to look at fuel trims. I'd want to do a tailpipe analysis. And I may very well say to you, I've got a problem I can fix. Or the problem you own, and that's your right foot. Because there's nothing coming out of the tailpipe of this baby. And that means it's how it's driven. Or it could be a variety of other things. In your particular case, here's the question on your idle problem, then I got to run. The question is during the summer did you have this problem, or is it only the time of the year when we transition from one temperature or one climate to the other?
When it gets cooler.
Okay. So that's why I don't want you to spend a lot of money on this. That's what I'm trying to do. I just want you, if clean up the throttle blades, yeah, but that's about it.
1 minute.
All righty?
Okay. All right. Thank you.
You betcha. Joe, I'm not going to have time to do you justice. So I'm going to put you on hold, and you're going to be my first caller on the other side of this break. For those of you that have a car question, if you'd like to call, you can. 602-508-0960. 0960, because this is 960 AM KKNT. They call it Intelligent Conservative Talk Radio, and like I said again, I got a waiver from the GM on the intelligent part.
30 seconds.
I also ask him, when I met him in his office, I said, which chair would you like me to sit in? And he says, what are you talking about? And I said, well, every once in a while, you're going to call me in and you're going to say, did you really say this? And he laughed and he goes, that chair over there would be the one you'd be sitting in. And I said, okay, thank you very much. So we are owned by Salem Communications, no relationship of mine. But again, the phone number is 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960. My name's Mark Salem. I'm at your service right here on KKNT. Hey, Mark Salem here.
And available.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
Well, welcome back, everybody. I can tell you one thing for sure. This is a wonderful song, and our industry enjoys it. However, there's no such thing as your timing belt shrunk one size too small. I guess that makes for great country music. But they're either good or they're bad. They're stretched, they got teeth, or they're needing dentures. That's kind of how it works. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Kurtz Auto Repair. They have years of experience working in both domestic and import cars, both gas and diesel. Kurtz Auto is located at I-17 and Bell Road in Phoenix, so they're one of my northern guys. They've been a member in good standing with the Better Business Bureau since 92, and that's when they opened up for business. So if you live near I-17 and Bell, give Kurtz Auto a try, and tell them Mark Salem sent you. Puts a little pressure on him, you know what I mean? Joe, thank you for holding, buddy. How can I help you
thank
today?
Thank you for taking my call. I have an 01 Oldsmobile Silhouette minivan with a V6 engine in it.
Okay.
And I hear that you should have the cooling system changed. The cooling element changed.
Okay.
Is that true?
Well, yes, that is. And the first thing I want you to do is look at your owner's manual, and I'm willing to bet that you have what they call DexCool, which is a 100,000-mile coolant in
your
car.
Yes, I do.
How many miles do you have on it now?
54,000.
Okay. I want to tell you that I don't deviate from the manufacturer's warranty very often, but I can tell you that I am supported by our industry when I tell you that it's craziness to leave it in there for 100,000 miles.
Okay.
We're seeing that the DexCool, first of all, let me tell you, DexCool is a General Motors product and is a fine product, but it's eating up gaskets, and we have dissimilar metals in all the new models. We have steel engines with aluminum head, and when you put two dissimilar metals together, there's one of them is going to eat the other, and I think the coolant is a bad idea. I tell my customer, and let me tell you also too, Joe, that the color of the coolant determines the intervals you change it. For instance, If you put green back in there, you're going to have to change it every 30,000 miles.
Yeah.
Then there's a middle-of-the-ground coolant, and you put that in there, and they're going to call for 50,000 miles. Dexcool is going to be 100. You're an 01. Your car's 10 years old.
Yes.
It doesn't have many miles for being 10 years old.
No.
And if I were you, I would change the coolant. I tell you when I'd do it. I'd do it in April or May of next year. I go into the summertime with fresh new coolant. Now, you could do it now if you wanted to. That's fine, too. But I would change it, and then, of course, they're going to ask you, what do you want back in there? And I think it's in your best interest to put the premium coolant in there and ask them to put Dexcool back in.
Dexcool, okay.
All right? But, yes, I think it's time for you based on more time than mileage. But I think let me turn your question around, Joe. Mark, do you have a truck that runs Dexcool? And I'm going to tell you, I got about 10 vehicles that run Dexcool. Uh-huh. When do you change yours? I change them in between 60 and 80,000 miles annual.
This was changed about 35,000, but it's been about 5 years.
Okay. I still think that the normal person's going to drive 15,000 miles or 15,000 miles a year in 5 years. That's 75,000 miles.
Yes.
You're not even close. So
I go 3,000 a year.
Okay. So I think the time frame is what puts you into the let's flush your cooling system. And you should expect to pay between, on the low side, $85, on the high side, $125. Flush it completely, put in new coolant, make it a 50-50 mix, and you'd be home free.
Is a power flush okay, or is it, they're going to do it by hand?
Well, that is an interesting question, Joe. If I told you that if you used a special mouthwash called Listerine and it would kill all your cavities, would you believe me?
2 minutes.
Okay, of course not. The idea is that you can do it either way. You can power flush it, which puts air and it agitates it a little bit, or you can just hook up a garden hose and wait till it runs clean. Now, I got to tell you, I can look at the coolant, and I think most senior guys can look at the coolant and say, the power flush is a waste of time. We're just going to rinse it out. We're going to rinse its mouth out with good clean water, and then we're going to put coolant back in it. The power flush will never fix anything. I promise you. I have people coming in that they're overheating. They go, I want you to power flush. I said, I'm not going to, because that's not going to fix it. If the radiator's plugged, I can't go in there and scrub all them tubes out.
Right.
So that's kind of what it's all about, Joe.
Okay. And what about the transmission now?
Same way with the transmission. I want you to service the transmission. If you haven't done it, have you done it yet so
no,
far?
No, but it was done about 35,000.
Okay. And it's got 80 now?
No, 55,000.
Oh, no. You're okay on the transmission.
Okay.
I think I'd probably do the transmission at the beginning of the summer, maybe in 2 years.
Okay.
All righty.
1 minute.
And do you have a shop on Earl Street in Scottsdale that you recommend?
Oh, yeah. Mike Vincent's Auto.
That's what I wanted to hear.
I'll tell you something. You tell him I said hi. He's one heck of a guy, but I'll tell you, he's another one of those shops. Do you know who really runs Mike Vincent's Auto?
A woman.
Amy.
Right, I talked to her, but I haven't done there yet.
Nope. Hey, my guarantee stands for him too, buddy.
Oh, that's terrific.
He's not going to let you down, I promise.
And you're going to talk about some kind of gas-saving mileage today.
Okay, and I'll do that right after the break.
Thank you very much.
All righty, Joe.
Goodbye.
We're going to talk, and this is what I promised you. For $29.95, I'm going to double your fuel economy. For $29.95. And I'm going to give you the how-to instructions to do it as well. My tongue is firmly planted in my cheek, but I'm going to tell you, this will work. Now, it may not be something you're going to enjoy, but this will work. 602-508-0960. 602-508-0960.
Hello.
The mechanic raised up from under my hood and he shook his head and said, this ain't good. The timing belt's done shrunk, one size too small.
And I hope you're not going to have any technicians popping out of your hood saying you got bad news, but I'm certain there's probably some maintenance out there that needs to be done, and you pick when you get to do that. This portion of Under the Hood is brought to you by Quality Transmission. If you have an issue with the transmission, Bob or Greg at Quality Transmission in Tempe is who you need to call. They have many years of experience, and they don't guess. They're not the kind of shop that's going to say, after we tear it apart for $400 and we leave it in 3,000 pieces, then we can give you an estimate. You see, that's not how it works. A good guy can give you an estimate first. Here's the worst-case scenario. It will be less than this, and you know. So, Quality Transmission is located in Tempe on McClintock, north of University. No matter where you live, they're worth the drive. All righty, we're going to go back to the phones. Lance, you're up next. Lance, how can I help you today?
Hey, how's it going, Mr. Shannon? I've been a long-time fan of yours, and I really trust your judgment. You just mentioned technicians. I'm thinking about doing a career change, but I'm almost 50, and I wanted to, since you're a shop owner, I wanted to maybe see what my prospects were of going to school now and getting out when I, you know, around the 50th age, and what kind of luck I might have.
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever replaced a water pump?
Well, 20 years ago, I went to an automotive school here in Phoenix. I just never got into it. I did something else.
Okay.
So
I would think that maybe what you want to do is do two things. Maybe look at Glendale Community College or Gateway Community College. Glendale Community College has Chevy, Ford, and Chrysler. They have a great program, and it's cheap. Then Gateway Community College does the import line. They do Nissan, Toyota, Honda. So I think you look at one of those, and I think you go to school a half a day, and I think you find a job as what we call a GS guy, general service guy, at a repair shop. And you say, I just want to do oil changes. You teach me how you want them done. I'll do all of them the same way. So a half a day you go to school, half a day you have work, and you get to practice what you learn at work. I think that's the home run you're looking for. And I'm telling you right now, you can go to Glendale or you can go to Gateway, and you're not going to spend anywhere close to $25,000, $30,000 to go to school there. Now, if you go the whole 2 years, then you'll take your ASC tests afterwards, and you should pass them with no problem. But that's what I'd do if I were starting over like you.
Well, thanks, Mark.
Okay, thank you very much, Lance. Bill, you're up next. What can I do for you, Bill?
Hi, Mark.
Hi.
I have a question about a 2000 Ford Ranger pickup truck. It's a 4.0
okay.
liter, and it seems like between 2 months and 3 months, I fall out a plug. And now what I've done in the past is I've changed all the plugs because I didn't know which plug was falling out. It would lose power like going uphill or any time I step on the gas pedal aggressively. And then I started not changing the plugs but driving it until the check engine light would come on and telling me which plug it would be.
Okay.
So I've done this about 6 times now, and each time it's been a different plug that falls out.
Okay.
And it varies from time when it happens, but it's usually between maybe a month to 3 months, and then I'll start losing power again. And if I wait long enough for the engine light to come on, it directs me to a different spark plug.
Okay, let me ask you some questions now, Bill. When the spark plug is fouled, is it fouled with a black oily substance, or what does it look like?
It doesn't seem to have a definite appearance. To me, I've even taken it to my local mechanic and had him look at the plug, and he couldn't figure anything out from it.
Okay. All right. I'll tell you what I think is going on here. I think you don't have a spark plug situation. I think it's entirely possible. Let me tell you that the computer has to know where number one cylinder is at, and it usually uses a crankshaft sensor to determine that. It could also have a camshaft sensor. The camshaft sensor would tell it where number one is at, so it can begin counting. Let's pretend the firing order on your Ford leader is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Okay?
It starts on the passenger side, and it's 1, 2, 3 going back towards the engine or the compartment.
Yeah.
And then it starts again on the driver's side, 4, 5, 6.
No, but I'm telling you that the firing order is quite different, but the firing order is which cylinder's fired first, which cylinder's fired second.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay.
So the crankshaft, if it has a camshaft sensor, the crankshaft sensor gives it RPM and tells it, okay, here's one cylinder, here's one cylinder, one cylinder, but then the camshaft sensor says, hey, that's number one. Hey, that's number one. I think you have either a crankshaft sensor that is telling the computer the wrong information, or it tells the computer when to start counting. So if I'm the computer and you, Bill, tells me to start counting right now, and it's really not one or number one cylinder, but it's number three cylinder, my count's going to be off. So if the spark plugs aren't fouled, but it's showing a misfire and the cylinders keep moving around, then I think you have a crankshaft or a camshaft sensor, and most shops are capable of diagnosing that. But do you spend the money to diagnose it, which could cost you $100 or $200, or you might say to them, you know what, tell me what you think it could be, and if they agree with me, don't tell them the guy on the radio said to do that. See if they come up with that themselves. And then you say, well, how much is that crankshaft sensor just to put on? And they say, I don't know, it's $125. Well, that's cheaper than the diagnosis, yeah. What do you say we just do that? Let's just take a guess, because the guess is going to be cheaper than the diagnosis. Or they say, hey, the camshaft sensor tells it where number one is. Let's do the camshaft sensor. I just don't know right now whether you have one or two. but someone will know that. So my idea is you don't need spark plugs, and you don't need wires, and you don't need coils. You need something that tells a computer where number one starts at, so it can count 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. That's what you need.
Alrighty? It sounds to you like a camshaft sensor.
A camshaft or a crankshaft sensor. That's what it sounds like to me.
Or crankshaft sensor.
That's exactly right.
Well, Mark, I sure appreciate it, okay, because I've been baffled with this thing for about 2 years now, and it's just driving me crazy trying to keep replacing these spark plugs.
I understand, Bill. I understand. Boy, nobody knows how those cars can drive you crazy until you look at my gray hair. But thank you very much, Bill. Taylor, we're going to go to you. Taylor, how can I help you today?
Hey, Mark. Yeah, I got a question on tires. By the way, I've been listening to you for years. Love your show. You've saved me thousands of dollars.
Thank you.
I got an 03 Buick Century. About to put a full set of tires on it. And I got a choice of same size tires, but I can go a 55 PSI tire or a 35 PSI tire. What do you think?
On a Buick Century?
Yeah.
A 75 PSI
tire? No, 55.
Oh. Well, listen, there's a door sticker on your door that gives you the exact side and the exact load range for that Buick.
Uh-huh.
I'm not familiar, unless that's got some low-profile tires on it, performance tires on it, I'm not familiar with a 55 PSI tire for a Buick Century. I could be wrong, but I want to tell you, if you look at the door sticker, it'll tell you what size the tire is, and it'll tell you front inflation and rear inflation. Now, if the front inflation says that it wants it at 52, then Mark is wrong. Mark is wrong, and you should pick the 55 PSI tire. But what you really want to do is say to the tire store, I want you to show me first what the car calls for, and then let's talk about the differences in any of these other tires. Now, the 55 PSI tire may very well be a performance tire that's going to give you a little rougher ride because it's wider, it's shorter, and it's a little stickier in them turns. But if you're not the kind of guy that makes a hard right so the girl sitting next to you slides over next to you, then you don't care about that. And so if you say, no, I want to go for ride, oh, well, then we're going to change you over to a 70 series tire, and we're going to put this on there. It has a maximum inflation of 35 pounds, and you'll like the ride much better here. That's
okay,
what
we all know you run your tires at maximum PSI for greater fuel efficiency. Is that going to make any difference there, do you think?
No, not at all. But if the sticker calls for a 55 PSI tire and it tells you 32 in the front and 30 in the back, then the answer is those numbers are the minimum acceptable standards.
Gotcha.
If that's going to make it ride the nicest. But who cares about ride when gas is $3.50 a gallon? So
yes,
at that point, I'd move it up to the 55. Now, if I started wearing the center out of the tires, that means I'm a little overinflated. I'd drop it down to 50, okay?
Okay, you're the man. I appreciate your help, Mark.
Okay, thank you very much, Taylor. And Charlie, you're up next. Charlie, how are you today?
Just fine, thank you, sir. I appreciate your program. I've got a problem with an 05 Toyota Sienna. I looked under it one morning, and I got a small pool about 4 inches across of purple liquid. And I say, I got a transmission problem, so I call a transmission shop that you recommend, make an appointment. He says, well, it could be coolant. I said, no, it's not coolant. I take it to him. He says, it's coolant. And he found something else. He fixed it. And then I take the car to the dealer because they had replaced the water pump last July.
Okay.
Warranties run out on that replacement. I start checking my cooler level, hot and cold, about twice a day. It never changes. Well, it hasn't changed in like 2 weeks. Cool, it's one level. Hot, it's the same level. It never varies from those measurements. So the dealer says he wants $600 for a water pump. What do I do?
All right. As long as the water level is moving, as long as it's going up when it's hot and going down when it's cold, you're not sucking in the air through that orifice that's leaking coolant every now and then on the water pump, okay? Now, when it stops moving, that means as it cools down, rather than draw liquid out of the overflow into the engine, it's going to draw air through the weep hole on the water pump. I want to warn you, though. I think you should bid the water pump, first of all. I think you can... Typically speaking, in this environment you've just placed on my table, I'm telling you, you can probably beat that price by between 10 and 20%. Now, you need to find out what that price includes. Now, here's what I want them to say for $600. I got the water pump. I got all the labor. I've got the flush in the cooling system, and I got the cooling. I've got the coolant, and I've got the sales tax. I hope that's a total out-the-door price. Then you bid the same thing somewhere else. My fear is that the water pump could fail, and it could, and you know it's going to fail when you're on your way to the bathroom, or you're on your way to a wedding, or you're on your way to pick up your wife at the airport. You know it's going to fail there. If it's leaking, it's bad, and you might be able to coast through the winter. I wouldn't chance it, but you got to have it done by the 1st of April, 1st of May.
Mark, it's not leaking anymore. It hasn't showed any more leakage on the garage floor.
Okay, it's possible because there's a series of seals in there that one of the seals got some piece of dirt underneath it and allowed it to leak. And once we flushed that dirt out, then the seal then returned to its proper level. If that's the case, you're fine. Just watch it. Now, the water pump, you know it's at the front of the engine. You know your Sienna's a front-wheel drive. And I think it's a rear-wheel drive, as a matter of fact. But you know where the water pump's at. So as long as that leaks underneath there, if you don't see it and you don't see a water variation, then I would continue to drive it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you betcha, Taylor.
Appreciate it.
For the rest of you, I don't have time to take callers, but I do have some information for you. When you go to a repair shop, you always ask the repair shop, is this a guess or is this a fix? That's a very important question. Sometimes a guess is an appropriate thing. Mrs. Jones has a little K-Car Chrysler product. She has an intermittent dial installing problem. 7 out of 10 times, that is a problem with the distributor pickup assembly. The pickup assembly and labor is $100. Mrs. Jones, this is Mark. I want a guess on your car. I want you to know that I'm not going to pay or refund you any money, but the guess is I'm 70-75% sure this will take care of it. Your symptoms match what I know this piece creates. Now, Mrs. Jones, your part is white in color, and they use different colors to show different upgrades. The newest one is blue. You don't have a blue one. You have a white one. That's 4 or 5 redos before. That's 4 or 5 versions is what I mean before. So, Mrs. Jones, hear me now. It's a guess, but I think I'm doing a good job, and if you were my mother, I'd do the same thing. So what do you want me to do? Now, I can spend lots of money and track this down, but by your own admissions, it only dies once a week and then only 2 weeks a month. So it's going to be tough. So you can either wait till it gets worse and easier to find, or I can guess
from
what happens $100. On my website, Mark Salem, marksalem.com, you can find lots of information. You're welcome there anytime you want. You can find me on my Facebook as well, Mark Salem. If you'd like to friend me, I would enjoy that. I use Facebook I posted a picture the other day of my horse having a baby. People went crazy over that. But we just happened to be right then and right there, and I had to help the baby exit the mother, and it was an exciting time in my life, so I posted the picture. But Facebook, you just look for Mark Salem, and I'll be there to help you. You can also email me any time you want with any car question you want. Mark@marksalem.com. Mark@marksalem.com. It's easy, mark@marksalem.com. And my website is marksalem.com. So between now and then, here's what you can do for me. I want you to wear your seatbelt. I want you to drive safely, and I don't want you to drink and drive. Okay? That's how we do it. God bless you. Wear your seatbelt. I'll see you next Saturday here at 10 o'clock, right here on KKNT.
This was a paid program.